This is a TechWeb Internet Insider Profile. I'm Paul Schindler.
So we see that the year 2000 comes and it starts in the East. And as it comes around the globe, power goes out, phones go dead. It looks like we're not going to be prepared in time.
Jason Kelly wants to scare you. His book, Y2K, It's Already Too Late, offers readers a worst-case scenario of the havoc that could be wreaked by computers which wake up on January 1, 2000 and think it's January 1, 1900. That problem's known as the Y2K bug. It may mean no power grids, no banks, and no airplanes will operate properly for the first few days, weeks, or months after the turn of the century. The vast majority of experts agree that Y2K is a serious problem. One prominent economist says there's a 70% chance of a recession as a result of the Y2K bug, and the U.S. Senate says the American power grid may fail. I spoke recently with author Jason Kelly by telephone. We began by talking about how his book was published. I noticed that your book is self-published. Yes. Why is that?
That's because New York was unable to get it out in time using the traditional publishing schedule. The soonest that New York could have had it out on the street would have been summer of 99. And that's just too long to wait for a book about the new millennium and a book about the Y2K meltdown, especially if part of the goal in publishing is to inform people of the problem enough in advance so that they can do something about it. And I realized that only by self-publishing it could I have it out by this summer, and that's exactly what happened. I found a printer, found a distribution system, and was able to offer the book on June 1st of this year.
Let's have the exact name of the book and the website where people can find out more about it.
Sure. It's called Y2K, It's Already Too Late, and the website is www.y2kbook.com.
I've read the excerpts on your website, but I'd like you to describe for our listeners what the book is about and how it makes its points.
The book is about the year 2000 computer crisis, and it looks at it from a worst-case scenario. So we see that the year 2000 comes, and it starts in the East, and it comes around to the United States. And as it comes around the globe, power goes out, phones go dead, and emergency dispatch systems give way, and the infrastructure that supports society just collapses around the Earth, which is a very realistic scenario as we get closer to the year 2000. It looks like we're not going to be prepared in time. So when it comes to the United States, there's a company in my book called Solvang Solutions that has prepared itself for the worst, has its own diesel power system and private satellite network, and Solvang Solutions attempts to get the world back on its feet and encounters a bunch of espionage with the military along the way and people that are exploiting the meltdown to their own interest, and finds itself in a fight to save the country and, in one case, to save the main character's life. So that's how the book unfolds. The foundation is based on evidence from congressional testimony and real reports from companies in the field. And as we get closer to the year 2000, I'm finding that the headlines and papers and the stories on the news are confirming what's in the book instead of making it look like we may be ready in time. To be frank, I didn't think that much of the scenario I wrote about in this book would come true, but the headlines are pointing out that it may.
Let me take one specific and fundamental problem that you deal with in the book, because I'm curious how you think it would come about, and that is the blinking out of the power grid. Is the power grid, in fact, full of mission-critical computers with two-digit years in them, and what role does the year play in the operational aspects of the power grid? I can see power bills not coming out because the billing computer thinks it's 1900, but how important is the date in the operational computer grid for the power network?
It's actually quite important. It comes into play at the power plants themselves. When they're manufacturing power, they know exactly where it's demanded. Now that we're on a grid system, somebody in Los Angeles could be getting power from somewhere in the Midwest or even in the East. And so power is distributed in these chunks, and the time stamps are kept as it goes across the grid. So there are time stamping that occurs at the plant itself, and then also along different points in the grid too. So we can see that if one transformer, and then there are digital transformers that may not rely on dates specifically for their task, but if their ability to process dates gives way, then the system just shuts down because, as you know, computers are fickle and that's just how they work. If something breaks, sometimes the entire function of that chip goes down. So what we find is that, just as happened a couple years ago, if a couple transformers go down, 8 states in the West United States lost power for several hours. That was just from a couple transformers, not a Y2K problem. If the year 2000 comes and we have a widespread shutdown of those transformers in the grid and in the power plants themselves, there's a good chance we'll see a nationwide blackout. In fact, Senator Bennett, who heads up the Senate Technology Committee on the year 2000 issue, thinks that there's a 40% chance that we will see a nationwide blackout in just 18 months. And he went further to say that if the year 2000 occurred today, there's a 100% chance we'd have a nationwide blackout because nobody's ready yet.
Another example that you mentioned in the book is the failure of cars to start. Now, I've racked my brain, and I can't imagine a date in my car computer except possibly in the clock. Are there, in fact, date-based critical functions in automobiles?
Yes, there are. Cars these days have up to 100 different chips in them, and they do all types of tasks. And even though a task may not be dependent specifically on a date, for example, a braking system or a starting system doesn't really need a date to function. But oftentimes, the computer chips have multiple tasks. So the chip that's in charge of taking care of maintenance schedules and telling your mechanic when the last time you changed the oil was and how many miles you've driven and when the next date a certain procedure should happen, that chip may also control other vital functions, such as the fuel-air mixture in the car, or starting, or possibly even a braking system in certain models. So if that chip, which is embedded in the car, suddenly cannot understand dates, and that causes it to report an error internally, there's a good chance that that chip's entire job will stop being done. So if it did control brakes, it would no longer be able to do that, or start the car, or mix the fuel and air. And Paul French, I think he's the executive officer of the Iowa Department of Transportation. He said that he likens this whole problem to a string of Christmas tree lights of the car, where if one goes out, the entire string goes down. And he says that's really how he looks at it in a car. He says the average car has over 100 chips in it. And automotive engineers at GM said that unless a mechanic has worked on that particular model of car, then he won't be able to find where all the chips are located in order to fix the problems. So there's a good chance, again, that we'll see a lot of trouble even in something as small as cars. But I personally don't think that's the biggest risk. I mean, it's not that big a deal if cars aren't starting. I'm much more concerned about power and phones and emergency systems.
Now, my personal plan had always been to take $1,000 out in June, stick it in a drawer, and then not go anywhere on New Year's Eve in 1999. Is that enough protection?
I think that's a good idea. You may actually need a little more. I've been telling people that 6 months cash should be a good idea. That's what I'm planning to do. Because if we can't get money out of banks or ATMs or anywhere else, and we go to somewhat of a barter economy for a while, having cash at all would be pretty good. And 6 months worth would be a little safer, in my opinion, but I think you got the right idea. Have cash on hand because you won't be able to get it out of banks.
And don't go anywhere because it's not clear how the transportation infrastructure is going to respond.
That's right, and particularly when it comes to planes. You know, Boeing itself has said that they're still doing the assessment phase of all their planes, but they have found a few models with flaws in them. It's according to their own internal magazine from earlier this year. The FAA says that it's not going to be ready in time, so we won't have air traffic control, and there's a good chance that we'll have problems in the cockpits themselves. So you don't want to be flying on New Year's Eve 1999.
Jason Kelly, I want to thank you very much for an enlightening interview.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to a TechWeb Internet audio report. Thanks for listening.